We'll continue in fellowship from where we were in the preceding session. Another test, they failed to follow instructions in the initial collection of the manna. This was a test. This should have been really an easy one to pass. They've never seen this before. They get their first meal was God bringing quail in, 16:13. And then there's a description of the manna in verse 14, what it looked like. First time they observed anything, or anybody observed anything like that. Like find as frost on the ground, flake-like, all over the surface, and it had to be fairly deep in its output. And they all looked at one another and said something stupid. What is it? Which I know the first time you see something like this, it might throw you a little bit for a loop. But faith says this is the bread, this is it. And Moses explained, this is the bread. I don't know what they were expecting in terms of bread, but they got something that was of this nature. And Moses gives instructions as their spiritual leader in 16. Gather of every man as much as you should eat. You shall take an omer apiece according to the number of persons each of you has in his tent. So if you have four, then you pick out four omers, I presume. And the Israelites did so. Some gathered much, some, okay, little. And they discovered that it was just the right amount for everybody. Verse 18. And then Moses said, this isn't a food that you can leave and hold over till the next day. But they, however many out of the deal, didn't listen to him. He don't know what he's talking about. We know better. And some left part of it until morning, it bred worms and became foul, and Moses was angry with them. Now Moses had an anger grid. He wasn't one of these short-fused types either. But this ticked him off. Something as simple and basic as this. And so the divine discipline for those who did it is to have this smelling mess permeating their tent. And I'm sure it was probably quite nauseous. They gathered it morning by morning, every man as much as you should eat. But when the sun grew hot, it would just melt. This is supernatural food. It's a real substance. You can analyze it in a lab and see what it's all made up of. But it was provided and fell out of the sky during the night hours. Now on the sixth day, our Friday, they gathered twice as much bread, verse 22, attempting to collect manna on the Sabbath. I'll have to explain that briefly for people that are not in the know about the Sabbath. The Sabbath, or the seventh day, the day of rest, canonized under the commandment in the Mosaic law to keep the Sabbath, is only for Jews, Israelites, from this period. But it became established as law officially at Sinai. Sabbath keeping was not something that was required or done. Even though God rested on the seventh day of restoration, he did not command Adam and Eve to not work on that day. You'll find no verse to this effect. It became a part of the ceremonial code of Israel for the age of Israel to teach them that you don't have to work 7 days. You can take off and rest. And it was a law. And it was punishable if people violated it. One of these guys here in Moses' deal violated it openly in front of everybody. And he got executed. The Sabbath is not for the church age. We have a Sabbath. But it's faith rest. Entering into God's rest. We do not have a specific day. We are not Israelites living under the ceremonial code of the Old Testament. Period. So this is just for information generally for people out there that might be thinking that this is something that we need to do. Failure to follow instructions, we gave you that. Attempting to collect manna on the Sabbath. That's verses 28 and 29. Well, I'll read 27. And so this was going to get them kind of tuned up for observing the Sabbath. Don't bother to go out there on the seventh day, because the Sabbath dropped out of heaven on the sixth day. You can keep it overnight. And it won't get bad. God put something in it, altered its formula, so it would last, and you could get a double portion on Friday. And of course, some of the knuckleheads went out there, and it says that this didn't become foul. No worm, whatever, you know, like a maggot or something was in it. Eat it today, for today is a Sabbath, a rest to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh, the Sabbath, there'll be none. But of course, there's always some people that know better. And they went out on the seventh day. Some of the people went out, but they found none. Again, Moses, this refrain. How long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my instructions? See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, he gives you bread for 2 days. On the sixth day, remain every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. Just stay put, stay cool, relax, lounge, stay there. That's the seventh day. You got food in it, you got food in there to eat. And you can prepare it. That's not a violation. So the people rested on the seventh day. They finally got in the groove. And in verse 21, they named it manna. Another description of it, for those of you who are familiar with coriander, seed, white, and the taste was like wafers with honey. And so, next, number 6, complaining over no water at Rephidim. As they move from itinerary to itinerary, as they're moving ever closer to the big location, the Mount Sinai event, they come to Rephidim, as it was named, in Exodus 17. And they did follow the movement by stages in the wilderness of Sin. They camped at Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Then the people quarreled with Moses and said, again, this is adult people acting like juveniles. Give us water that we may drink. And Moses said, why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord? But the people thirsted there for water. Yes, they'd ran out of water, and they were thirsty. We've all been thirsty. And they grumbled against Moses and said, why now have you, this was their mantra through their time, why have you, every time they got in a test like this, why have you brought us up from Egypt, there again, this, to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst. Now, on this occasion, these people are, we would say, up in arms. They want to do physical harm to Moses. That's how far off they got. And Moses, he's being tested. Their leader's being tested. And he's a human, yes, with a lot of doctrine, a lot of state, but he gets rattled sometimes. So he cries to the Lord. This isn't just a casual request. Hey, look, the people need water, they're all up in arms, what are we going to do? He's demonstrating his human nature right here with What shall I do to these people? A little more and they will stone me. They're on the edge. They're already irrational, but they're on the edge right now. No water. See, this test was a lot more severe than some of the others because of the nature. The water they had got earlier and provided for, it too ran out. You can only imagine how much water that size of nation of people would need. It's incredible. So the Lord says to Moses, pass before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel. Get right out in front of them. We'll make a good target if they want to throw rocks at you. God's got this all under control. He's protecting his leader. And take your in your hand your staff with which you struck the Nile and go. This is his symbol of authority. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock. Verse 6, at Horeb. And you shall strike the rock. And water will come out of it that the people may drink. Moses doesn't say, well, how's that going to work? He's not anything pitiful like that. He has faith. He struck the waters of the Nile. I mean the Nile. Of the Red Sea crossing. They struck the Nile too. Turn it to blood. But anyway, he's right up there about this rock. By the way, if you go to that Mount Sinai site where they've done the investigation out there, there's a rock out there. And it's not just a big boulder. It is 5 stories high and it's split down the middle. Yeah. Not all the way through, but just down. That rock's that way because of what God did to it when Moses hit it with his staff. His staff represents his authority. Connected to God. You know, the one he had back in the day when he herded sheep. And Moses did so in the sight of the Lord. And this rock cranked out water. But they flunked that test. That's very clear. And so they had a supernatural fountain. And God was creating molecules of water, billions of gallons, running all over the place. There's evidence in that location that those rocks are water-worn. And that didn't happen as a result of rain. So, the next one is the most known one by people. This is the event in Exodus, the idolatry in Exodus, in connection with the event at Sinai. And so I'm skipping over. So we skip a lot of verse because there's a lot of stuff in there that isn't directly related to testing. Though these people tended to be maladjusted. Now, they'd calm down when they got what they wanted. And they never, I don't have any record in there, are they ever saying, we have been really reprobates. We have been pathetic. We're going to turn over a new leaf and we're going to start acting right. We confessed all that and now we're going to serve God. And the next thing we're tested with, we're not going to flip out. But they did. And this is their, they failed to faith rest Moses' sudden absence from them. Their leader is not with them. During the period of time when he was on the top of this mountain. Now, they came to this mountain. This mountain is Jebel Lawaz. It's called the Mountain of the Law. And the local Arabs, people that live there, indigenous people that live there, believe that it is the Mountain of Moses. It's in Saudi Arabia. Now there's a big fence around it. People had snuck in there to look at it because you can't just walk into Saudi Arabia. This site, with all that you would see on that video presentation where these People got in there and took pictures. There's so many different things mentioned in Exodus that they left behind. Proof that they were there. It doesn't fit any other people being there. Certain features the mountain had to have. I just threw this in for a little color commentary. Certain features any mountain that was the mountain of the law had to have. It had to have a cave in it. It had to have a brook that ran down off of it. That mountain, to this day, has a scorched top. It's unexplained by any natural phenomena as the mountains around it, the peaks around it, I think it's around 8,000 feet. Any of the peaks around it do not have this scorched feature. God came down on it in fire and like a blowtorch blackened it. And that blackened nature is there to this day. This is the same mountain that Elijah fled to that same cave. Anyway, this is the mountain where Moses received the Ten Commandments, where Moses received, as a result of his trips up it, the rest of the law code, which is quite elaborate, and the instructions for the building of the tabernacle. So, here's what we have. Now, when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people assembled about Aaron and said to him, now we know why Moses is the leader and not Aaron. While Aaron had his good qualities and served God, he was easily intimidated by the people, where Moses wasn't. He was easily pressured by the people to do something he didn't know, even he knew was not the right thing to do. But Aaron nevertheless has his opportunity to be left in charge. Moses is out of pocket. And again, another mind boggler. They give up on Yahweh. Come, make us a god. You know how stupid that sounds? You might as well go get some Play-Doh and make you a god. It is so dumb to anyone who knows what the nature and essence of God is to think that you could make something that would resemble Him, a physical idol, and yet the world to this day is filled with these kinds of things that people fall down and worship, even so-called Christians. Idolatry. Make us a God who will go before us. Again, I read this and I think, I can't even believe my eyes sometimes, that people would think like this. I would better think that they could just say, well, really, we were just tricked. We're out here. There is no God. Let's go where we're going to go. But make us a God. Make us an inanimate object that somehow will lead us? Who will go before us, as for this Moses, the man who brought us up from the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. He's gone. So they figured he's split or dead or something. That is how they judge their circumstances. Believe me, if anything happens to me and I'm suddenly disappearing, it's against my will. And if I can, I'll be back. But you'll have to carry on in my absence. I don't foresee anything like that. But this is a strange world and lots of things happen. So Aaron, he gets involved in this deal. He tells them that we're going to build this idol out of gold rings. That's where we're going to get the gold. Gold earrings affixed to their ears. Well, why did he pick that? Isn't there any other gold that's okay? Maybe he's trying to be subtle. You can't be subtle with these people. The ear gate is for hearing, learning. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Bible doctrine and the Word of God. So I guess the ears. So he took, they give all, this was a fairly large idol. It wasn't some little tiny thing. Just set on your coffee table. And fashioned it with a graving tool and made into a molten calf. And they said, "This is your God, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." Now you would have thought at this point, God would have just wiped them all out. Talk about divine restraint. Oh, he'll kill a bunch of them over this deal. As a token, a whole bunch of them will be buried in a mass grave out there. The number is found here in our story. But here's another example of their perversity. I don't know of anybody in my church, however they might be here, that are anywhere close to this level of perversity. There probably are some who have left it are over the years, getting away from the truth, getting out there in the world and buying all of the propaganda that we have in our civilization that is so up against the Word of God. All right, I'll see you next time. I'm stopping here. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, encourage and inform. In Christ's name, amen.